Thank you to Josiah and to everyone else who's had a part in our worship this morning. Thanks to Stephen and Louise and indeed to our band for leading us in worship. As we think about this topic of loving your church, I appreciate that for each of us in the room, there is a story about church, and that can be both positive and negative. And I don't want to sugarcoat the experience of church that you have had. I don't want to downplay it or minimize it if you've been hurt by church in the past. I don't want to guarantee that if you decide to belong to this church, you will not be hurt. I probably could guarantee that if you decide to join this church, you will be disappointed, you will be frustrated, because Peter talks in the first part of his book, he calls them, you know, elect exiles. Someone says, you know, they're a bunch of chosen rejects. Elect exiles. You are far from home. You're rejected by people, but chosen by God. And we are a bunch of chosen rejects, like it or not. That's what the church is. We're a bunch of people who have our own hurts and disappointments and frustrations, and yet God has brought us together. And so in our sin, we will hurt and offend one another. And I'm conscious today that probably there are people here, the thought of connecting to church or deepening a relationship with church is something that you want to keep at arm's length because you've been hurt in the past. I want to encourage you to have an open mind at the beginning of this series. And I'm certainly not wanting to paint an idealistic picture of what a perfect church is like, because you've heard the story. You know, if you find a perfect church, don't join it, because you will ruin it by your presence there. We have all failed and disappointed God in the way that we treat one another. And so I'm conscious that maybe in the room, as we think about loving church, you're like, I'm not going to enjoy the next 2 months. I want you to have an open mind as we begin this series. I'm not sure if the adverts are targeted or not, but I've been telling myself that it's because it's January, but I keep on seeing these before and after photographs of people who have been exercising or dieting on my social media feed. Each time the ads look very similar, it's just a different product that you need to buy. Maybe it's the Ab Cruncher 3000, or the Eat Great, Lose Weight cookbook, or the online fitness coach, or maybe the cheapest one of all was the guy who just bought a really big pair of jeans to pretend that once he was that size. We are a society that is fascinated with transformation and change. Think of 60 Minute Makeover, Love It or List It with Kirsty and Phil. Or maybe some of the young people will remember watching Dengineers, when like someone came and surprised a little child and made a den in their home or in their garden. And we love these before and after pictures of what life used to be like and now how life is. And here in Asia Minor, as Peter writes a letter to a group of churches, he's reminding them of the before picture and telling them the good news about the after picture. He's helping them to see how much their lives have been transformed or changed. He exposes them again to the current reality of their new identity. And just in case what you've forgotten what your life was like beforehand, Peter says you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, a bunch of nobodies, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, there was punishment coming your way that was unavoidable. But now you have received mercy. Writing about this change, Alexander Nesbitt says that the Christians and their lives in Asia Minor, he says that they had gone from the depths of misery to the height of happiness. When you think about the Church of Jesus Christ, you should understand that at its core, who we are is a transformed people. Each one who belongs to the invisible universal church that only God sees is someone who has been transformed, whose life is no longer the same. transformed people. Over the next 2 months, we'll be thinking about what it means to be a member of a local church. We'll be thinking about the particular benefits, the unique privilege that is ours as we gather, as we care for one another, as we serve one another, as we honor one another, as we witness to the world. And I don't want to take anything for granted or assume any previous knowledge. And I want to make it as plain and simple as I possibly can. I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I love the church, not just the idea of church. I love the church. I love you, and I want you to love this church, to love an actual local church. Not to say, oh yeah, I love the church, but in reality, it's really hard, so I'm just not going to get that involved. I love the people who make up Green Island Baptist Church. None of us are the finished article. None of us are perfect, but we are not what we once were. We are transformed people. And we cannot boast about the transformation. We can't post pictures of before and after and say, look at what I've done. Look how disciplined I am. Look how connected I am. Look at my effort to make this transformation. Look at my cleverness. Look at my wealth. We have no reason to boast in this transformation ourselves. Earlier in Peter's letter in the first chapter, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see how this transformation, this big change came about? What did the church in Asia Minor do to possess the transformation or the change? What did they do to get this new life that they now enjoy? Peter borrows terminology from his Savior and Lord and says, you've been born again. You've been born again. You might not have made it to biology A level, but even if you've studied biology to a basic level, you will know that a child has absolutely no contribution to its own existence. That it comes into the world, that its ultimate birth is a result of others, parents, not through anything the child does. And Peter eliminates in Asia Minor any opportunity for people in the church to boast or be arrogant or feel smug about their position in the church, because their new identity, their new status is a result of new birth. It's down to the fact that God the Father had great mercy towards them and they were born again. And as we think about the topic of belonging to church and specifically belonging to Green Island Baptist Church, I want you to know that no one pays their own way in. Nobody pays the membership fee to get them into any local church or the universal, invisible church that exists for all time of all believers everywhere that only God sees. We are part of a visible church. God alone sees the heart, and he knows who are his. No one's good enough. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet named Hosea, and he got a really difficult calling from God. God's people, Israel, were his chosen people who he cared for, who he nurtured, who he led through the waters and who he protected and fed and showed a particular love to. And Israel rejected God. They ran after the false gods that the other nations, surrounding nations had, and they wanted a king like the other nations had. And they basically committed adultery on God. They cheated on him by running after false gods. And so, in a way, to help the prophet Hosea experience in his own life and heart what God experienced, God called Hosea to marry a woman called Gomer, who would become a prostitute. Hosea was about to experience the pain of being rejected, of being cheated on. The people who God loved ran after other gods, and now the woman Hosea loved was going to run after other men. And in her unfaithfulness, she bore children, and their names were prophetic. This is what it says in Hosea chapter 1, verse 7. She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, call her No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or horses or horsemen. And when she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. As a result of Israel's unfaithfulness, God was saying, you're not my people, I'm not your God. Run after your own gods and see how life goes. You will not receive my mercy because you've rejected me. They would endure the consequences of rejecting God. They would endure the consequences of living without the mercy of God. And Hosea was going to feel that because his wife had borne children that were not his and had these names as a constant reminder. They would get the life they've chosen because of their own foolishness. I'm sure you're all really familiar with the London Baptist Confession, chapter 5, paragraph 5. Just in case you're not, it says this, and I think it's brilliant. It's written in 1689, so it's a bit wordy, but hopefully you can follow. And the most wise, righteous, and gracious God does oftentimes leave for a season his own children to manifold temptations and the corruptions of their own hearts, to chastise them for former sins, or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts, that they may be humbled, and to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon himself, and to make them more watchful against all future occasions of sin, and for other just and holy ends, so that whatsoever befalls on any of his elect is by his appointment for his glory and their good. In plain speak, sometimes God gives us what we ask for, just to let us see we do not have it all together. We are not clever enough to steward our own lives. And in order to help us see that we are not clever enough, he lets us rebel so that we're humbled, but it's only for a period, so that we will all the more enjoy closeness and fellowship with him, to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon himself. If you're going through a difficult time right now and God feels remote and distant, I want you to know that it is for your ultimate good, for the glory of God. If you feel like numb, or if you feel that God is absent or far off, if it seems that everyone else has these amazing experiences of the presence of God in their life and you're just not feeling it, or everyone else is able to say, I just really had this impression that the Lord was leading me in this way, and you're like, I can't remember the last time the Lord gave me an impression or directed me or guided me. I feel totally alone. I want to say to you that this experience that you're going through right now is a normal Christian experience that is not talked about very often. And it's something that I battle with constantly. Constantly feeling like, God, where are you? What are you doing? Am I just alone here in this? But I have to say that God in his grace hasn't left me forever in those times, and he does draw near. And the encouraging news for every Christian who is walking through a dark valley by faith alone right now is that God, even in that experience, is wanting you to experience that so you all the more appreciate when you do sense his presence. God deliberately uses even these times to draw us close to himself. And then later on, in Hosea chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, it says this, in that day I will answer, declares the Lord, and I will have mercy on No Mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. And do you notice how Peter then attributes Old Testament labels to New Testament Christians? Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. To belong to the Church of Jesus Christ, you simply need to acknowledge your need for mercy. But all you need is need to say, I don't have my life together. I can never enter the kingdom of God by human effort. I must be born again by the Holy Spirit. Humble yourself to Christ's claim upon your life. And this transformation is greater than any personal trainer could ever give you. Greater than any interior designer could ever provide. Greater than any diet or any hairstyle that a hairdresser can inflict upon you. You simply need to confess that you need Jesus, and he will bring about this transformation in your life. Would you take a moment today, if you are a Christian, to thank God for this deepest truth about your identity and ask the Holy Spirit to cultivate in you a love for his church, a love for the other transformed people that are all around you. Ask you to be drawn deeper into this fellowship, and that your bonds of unity with one another would grow really, really deep. And if you don't yet belong to Green Island Baptist Church, then why don't you commit that over the next 2 months to think, well, I'm really seriously going to consider this. I'm going to consider why I have not become a member, even though I am a Christian and part of the invisible church that God alone sees. Why will I not make this visible by becoming a member, by committing to the life of this church, by giving my time, my talent, my treasure, my life to the Church of Jesus Christ? If you've got questions, I'd love to hear them. I will not twist your arm up your back. I want to be patient with everyone, because I know that it's not always easy. And I will be patient with absolutely everyone. And if you want to just keep coming here, I will welcome you, and we will welcome you with open arms. But I want you to seriously consider that over the next couple of months. We are a people transformed. And secondly, we're a people together. It's been widely acknowledged that the culture and part of living in the culture that we live in right now is that we are a people who are often together but alone. Think about the scene. You walk into a coffee shop and the tables are filled because we are together. But a lot of those people are sitting with a newspaper or a laptop or on their phone, and there's no one else at the table. They are together in a community, but they are alone. You walk into a gym and there's loads of people. There's a hive of activity. There's one guy on the treadmill. There's one guy on the bike. There's one guy on the rowing machine. And there's a girl bench pressing weights, doing pull-ups. We are together, but alone. You get onto a train carriage, and you can't even get a seat. And there's loads of people. But they've got their AirPods in, listening to music. They're not actually having conversations with each other. They are together, but alone. You think about engagement with social media, where you have thousands of followers and hundreds of friends and lots of likes and retweets and whatever it is, and you're part of this vast community, but we have never been more alone. And belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ will bring you into an alternative community where we are together, but not alone. That other people will walk the same road with you. You will have other people who have experienced what it's like to come and live in this country, having been born somewhere else, and to be welcomed here, and to say, oh, I'm not the only one. There are people just like me in this place. You will have other people who have lost a parent, and you're walking the road of grief, and you don't have to walk it alone, because there's other people in this place who have said, I have walked that road, and it's hard, and we love you, and you will get through this. And there's other people who have experienced a cancer diagnosis, and they feel totally alone and unsure of what life is going to be like, and there's just a million uncertainties. And there are other people in this place who say, you are not alone. We are together. We are with you. We love you. And there's nothing like the local church. There is nothing like it. And I want you to love this church and belong to this church. We live in a world that is together but alone. And Hope Explored is an unbelievable opportunity, yes, to share information and to tell the gospel. But one of the most powerful things that we have to share with this community is this community. To say, come and be part of us. There is nothing like the local church out there. The gym is not like it. The football club is not like it. The community group is not like it. This is special. And we should be eager to expose other people to this community and to this fellowship. Each of the descriptions that Peter uses to help us understand our place in the church are plurals. Newborn infants require the existence of family, living stones, holy priesthood, chosen race, holy nation, people for his own possession. You simply cannot be a Christian on your own. The New Testament is so clear about this, and therefore long-term disconnection from the body of Christ is evidence of a spiritual problem, because you have detached yourself from the community that God loves so much that he paid with the blood of his own son so that it would exist. And therefore, if you can physically make it to church, and if you are mentally in the state where that is possible for you to be there, then you should participate in Sunday worship, in service to church, and in small groups of some kind, to pray, to read the Bible, to engage in the Lord's Supper, to hear God's word explained, to receive pastoral care and guidance and counseling, and so that you're not ignoring the direct command of Scripture of not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of judgment drawing near. This should be an increasing commitment as time goes on, because the day is drawing near. In the last 2 years, I needed to stay away from church for a short period of time. I was off with stress, and my doctor's note said anxiety, even though I was the person who was going to other people saying, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I said that to lots of other people. My doctor's note said, you're anxious, anxiety, you cannot work. So I had to take some time off. And church was a difficult place initially to think about going to. And so I'm not going to be legalistic about this. Not me marking your card. I fully appreciate that there are times when church is the last place that you feel like being. And that's okay. You take your time. We'll be patient with you. And we'll welcome you back with open arms. And we know that you might need to come in for a smaller service and slip out. Or you might need to just be about this place and take some initial steps. And we will be really patient with you and understanding. So I'm not talking to people who have difficulty for a period of time. I'm talking about people who say, I'm a Christian, but I don't really love church. I've no need for church. That's wrong. There's no place in the New Testament where Christians exist in isolation from the local church. It's simply not true. I had a conversation with someone this week who just I suggested to them, isn't it this church that you go to? He says, I don't really go to church anymore, Michael. Just really since COVID and all, you know, just stopped going. But I'm fine. Really? It breaks my heart. Because how can you carry one another's burdens if you isolate from the church? How can you submit the leadership that God has placed over you if you're not part of a local church? Whose teaching do you follow? What channel? Just swap a channel. So I like what he's saying. Like, which elders do you pray for? The church is imperfect, but it is indispensable to faithful Christian discipleship, says Tony Morita in a book that is available to you for less than £5, right? £5. Get the book and read it. We are not together, but alone. We worship a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sin separates us from God and one another. God's grace unites us. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house where God dwells. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So when people encounter us, they come into contact with God. You ever think about that? That they're not just encountering you and I this morning, but that what I would long for is people walk in here and say, surely God is among you. Each time someone trusts in Christ, they are quarried out of the pit and cemented by grace into the building, says Warren Wiersbe. It's been said that the church is full of hypocrites. It's not true. There's always room for more. Why don't you join us? Jesus alone is perfect. The rest of us are a work in progress. If you belong here, we will help you to become more like Jesus. That's what I want to promise. I can't promise anything other than that, but I will promise, if you belong here, that will be my chief aim. Jesus says, make disciples of all nations. We will make disciples. That's our goal. We've got a discipleship pastor. We've got someone in place to specifically think about that thing. We're invested in this. And this will not only happen as we pray for one another and carry one another's burdens and serve one another and help one another and have that beautiful experience, but it will also happen as we disappoint you, because you will have the amazing opportunity of forgiving other people. It's like, oh, I left the church, I got hurt. I'm like, yes, this is an opportunity for you to walk in exactly the same footsteps as Jesus, who was wronged and mistreated. How do you expect to become like him unless you experience that betrayal, that disappointment? You really hoped others would come through for you, but they didn't. They're like, yep, this is helping you become like Jesus. Simon and Garfunkel sing, I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving eye disdain. I'm a rock. I'm an island. Flawed view. Because when God created us, he said, it was good. And he made stars and they were good. And he made fish and water and it was good. And long, even when he made Adam, it was good. And long before sin even entered the world, the only one thing that was not good was for man to be alone, because our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is community. We're made in his image. And we long for community. Get involved in this community. Join us. Be a part of us. We are a transformed people and a people together. Set aside time this week to consider how you might develop your belonging to this church. Pick a moment. Pick half an hour. Make an appointment and think, how am I going to develop my belonging? You don't need to go from 0 to 100, but you might need to take a step. And that could be a text message, it could be a conversation, it could be getting involved and serving in some way. It could be that you need to formalize your membership. It could be that you need to repent of attitudes or speech about this place or about people here. Just set some time aside and reflect on the wonderful privilege that is ours of belonging to a local church. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're his children. He is your father, and he wants you to belong to his church. Let's worship God before we share together the Lord's table.